Truck Chat Technorama for Monday, October 24th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic marble veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milfer trunnions. And the facient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplanaration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama Show number 51. I'm Chuck Tomasi wearing my Batman outfit, and with me is the boy wonder Robin in his Robin get up is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig? Yeah.
Fran frickin' tastic.
Good. Glad to hear it. We've got a lot of stuff in tonight's show, and we are looking forward to bringing it to you. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a couple of oddities about Star Wars. Seemed to be a Star Wars weekend for the most part.
Yes, it is.
We've also got a clip from new robotic tech school that opened up in my neighborhood. We'll be bringing that to you in a series of clips because I was standing there jawing with these guys for quite a while. It was just kind of cool, geeky stuff.
They're like, move on. Come on. We got other people to talk to.
We hoping to land some jobs, and I don't see you with a paycheck. And we've got a ton of goodies from the Geek Library tonight. But before we get started, we've got to bring you a few words from our sponsor. So hold tight, and we'll be right back. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings. On this day in tech history for October 24th, 2005. It's October 24th. This is the 297th day in the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 68 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1861 the first transcontinental telegraph line across the United States is completed, spelling the end for the 18-month-old Pony Express. It lasted just about as long as Gopher did before the web took over. On this date in 1960 is when the Nedeline catastrophe occurs. An R-16 ballistic missile explodes on the launch pad at the Soviet Union's Baikonur Cosmodrome Space Facility, killing 165 people. Among the dead is the Field Marshal Mitrofan Nedeline, whose death is reported to have occurred in a plane crash. Also on this date, in 1998, the launch of the Deep Space One comet-slash-asteroid mission. The Concorde makes its last commercial flight on this date in 2003. bringing the era of the airliner supersonic transport to a close, at least for the time being. Finally, happy birthday on this date in 1932 to Pierre Gilles Desgenais, the French physicist, I think. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 24th, 2005.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
Welcome back. We're here. Still
Are
awake,
back?
Craig?
Huh?
Still awake? Huh? What? Huh? Huh?
I think so.
Okay. Quick listener feedback we've got. We may be past show number 50, but we still have something to give away. Yes, it's true. We've got Gmail accounts. What? They're free. I got a whole bunch of them. Yeah. Ask and you shall receive. It's surprising. I still get regular email about people saying, do you still have those? How do I
Are
get
you
one?
Serious?
It's
really?
True. I gave away three this week. So.
Huh.
Ask and you shall receive. Gmail is still by invitation only, and we've got a lot of them to give away. So, if you're interested...
Unless you're in the, hey, by the way, unless you're in the United States and have SMS...
Hmm?
You can... If you go to Google's page...
Yeah?
You can sign up. You put in your phone number. It will message you a invitation code.
Oh, really?
So, anybody can sign up, but it's only United... U.S. only for right now.
Well, in the UK, it's now Google Mail, but we said that on the last show.
And still, invitations work, too, so anybody can really get in. So.
Why do you need it? It's because it gives you an alternative to give addresses for websites who you think might collect your address and give you spam later. Very handy for that, because it's got a good spam catcher on it. Also, if you use an ISP like me, who only offers you 10 megabytes of mailbox space, which I use up in a week just on regular mail...
Yeah.
That you can use it as an alternate.
I can't tell you how many times I've emailed Chuck an attachment and I get an error back.
You know what a lot it was? There was like 4 meg just in those pictures that Frank sent me of his water-cooled rack.
I'll say, do you check your email?
It was bouncing, actually, today. I have to apologize to any listeners because if you send me mail Friday or Saturday, October, what would that be, 21st or 22nd, you may have gotten a bounced message saying that it was undeliverable or some such nonsense like that. Not the out of mailbox, out of space thing, but it did give something else.
No, Chuck is out in space.
So you might want to use the Gmail account.
Yeah.
Drop us an email, Chuck at ChuckChat.com or Craig at ChuckChat.com. That's K-R-E-G, and we'll get you a Gmail invite. Yeah. Now you watch. Some people will respond and go, can I have one?
All right, well, I want an official count next week.
All right.
Come back.
Done.
All right.
Time for the news. This just in from the AP Newswire.
Yes.
Yes, we can't resist. We are geek toys. Wow, that was loud. Right from the left ear to the right, darn near knocked the headphones right off.
I'm sorry. It's cracked me up. Sorry.
Someone out there is laughing. I don't know who, but...
Me.
Can't make yourself laugh. Nobody might be laughing.
That's right.
All right, on with the news. Read a news news article from LiveScience.com that said, accidental invention points to end of light bulbs. Well, yes and no. There's an element out there called quantum dots. And if you apply this to the surface of just about anything, did I lose you, Craig?
No, I was taking a drink, Chuck.
Oh, okay. It went mute.
I was trying to be quiet about it. I did mute it.
Don't bother me. Let's ask the listener, do you care if you hear Craig go...
No, it's more like... You know, my scotch. No.
Fire away, man. It caused more disruption going mute because now I don't know if Gizmo or Skype or whatever dropped out.
No, we're fine.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, these quantum dots, you put them on something, you hit them with a laser, they glow. Pretty slick stuff. Huh. However, it's still kind of on the expensive stage, as most new technologies are. But interesting thread going on Dig, because one guy jumped in there and sounded all authoritative and said, you know, this can't work and yada, yada, yada. And the people just put him down really fast. It's just amazing. You can't get away with BS on the internet these days, because the real people who know the stuff will jump all over you.
Unless you got suckered in thinking that this chick rode through Russia.
Chernobyl on a motorcycle, right?
Yeah. I swear, I bought that one. In all fairness, she did go, but not on the motorcycle.
If you're a new listener to the show, go back about two or three. Craig got taken in by a urban myth.
Hey, she did take the trip, though.
Next story, we've got a site.
I promise.
That will allow you to convert your regular good old RSS feed into BitTorrents when it comes across an attachment. Now, we were batting this around a little bit in the Friends in Tech mailing list this week. Douglas E. Welch found it. Did you have a chance to check this out, Craig?
I did read the article. I haven't, of course, tried it, but yeah, I read the article. Yeah, it looks interesting. You can set it to auto-torrent. You point it to your feed, tell it to auto-torrent it, and you can set the license and the whole thing, and it kind of does it automatically, which is good.
Even gives you some stats for tracking it later, so you're not just sending it off into the BitTorrent la-la land and going, gee, I wonder how many people got my file.
Well, you know, and what we're talking about here is, you know, for podcasting, making your shows available in BitTorrent form, but see, I'm wondering, is that really going to make a big deal? Because I don't know about most, but maybe we should look at our stats. But most people are using iTunes now. So
yes, it's a growing majority of the pie chart on Libsyn.
So is it like really going to make that big a deal?
I think you've got to have a critical mass, and I don't think we're there yet.
Oh, we're not?
Yet. We would probably have a few, but you know, would it make it worth it to them if there were only a handful of seeders? Probably not. So
I mean, you know, but you see where I'm going with that. It's like, well, you can make it available, but if only part of your people are using iPod or Doppler radio iPod or is it really going to use it? I mean, I would set mine up to, you know, to go get the BitTorrent one just to help out the guy, but
and just to make sure that it's working.
Yeah, I think there was a little issue with it, wasn't it? Somebody had a little issue.
I think Douglas tried it a couple times and it stopped on one of them, and there was some testing going on. It looks like it's still a pretty early product.
Sure.
Speaking of early products, did you hear that Flock is out?
Yes, and I downloaded it and tried it out. I gave it a once over. Have you looked at it?
I haven't had a chance this weekend, but I heard some interesting stuff on it. For those of you who don't know, Flock is supposedly the next generation of web browser that takes advantage of some of the things in Web 2.0, which is all the new and cool stuff of the internet.
Yeah, you can get it uses your delicious bookmarks instead of local bookmarks on your system. So
which I believe you can use as an add-in to Firefox or plug-in. A lot of the stuff that's in Flock is plug-ins already pre-assembled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just kind of putting a little different face on it, kind of make it look a little more seamless, I believe. But I don't know. I think it's pretty good. To be honest with you, I installed it. At first I was like, well, this looks like Firefox as far as the menus go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, yeah, I started messing with it, and I was like, it's all right. I'll just stick with Firefox. But I guess to people, you know, new users, I think it'd be perfect for them.
Caveat M2. I would not give this to a new user yet.
No. I meant what I meant was that I could see where this would be good for just average users. Not right now.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
No, not right now. Of course, it just came out. So.
Well, it's 0.5 on the release scale. It's clearly marked. This is a developer release, so expect crashes and bugs.
Yeah, I was talking about in the future. I think it could be good for somebody that is used to Internet Explorer.
Couple of things from Slashdot. You found something on the Vintage Computer Festival 8.0.
Yeah, this looked great. Of course, you know, me and Chuck and a lot of other listeners are big into vintage computers, and as soon as I saw this, I thought I had to stick this in here. In Mountain View, California, there's the they have the computer museum.
Mm-hmm.
You know where they have?
Yeah.
Computer History Museum, where they got all kinds of old computers in technology you can go look at. Well, this is the release they had. It was on Slashdot. Kudos to them for putting it up. But here's what they said: the 8th annual Vintage Computer Festival is now being held November 5th and 6th at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. The highlight of this year's event is the Homebrew Computer Club retrospective, featuring a panel of the original members of the club, including Steve Wozniak, Lee Feinstein, and others. The Vintage Computer Festival 8 will bring, also brings the return of the Nerd Trivia Challenge, a game show-style trivia contest for hardcore computer history buffs and for for the first time is hosted and presented.
Michael R. Menengate.
For the first time is hosted the award presentation ceremony in the International Obfuscated CECO competition. So anyway, I think it sounded great. I'd love to go, but I'm already booked up for November.
Yeah, I'd love to see my old buddy Steve Wozniak again, too.
You've seen him before?
On TV.
Oh, yeah. I always feel like I know him.
Also via Slashdot, the minor computer flaw free state prisoners. This one just caught my eye and I went...
say that three times fast.
That's a nice software bug to have.
Yeah.
Says a Michigan state audit shows a software glitch let some prisoners out early.
Woo! See ya, suckers.
Don't they say like open cell H32 anymore?
Yeah, right.
From the article, the audit report shows errors in the release dates of 23 prisoners between October 2003 and March 2005. Some were let out early while others were let out late. I gotta really go to the bathroom! A flaw in the computer programming caused state jails to release 8 prisoners anywhere from 39 to 161 days early. Prisoners who were doing time for everything from embezzlement and drugs to bad check writing. Nothing about the mattress tags this time.
Yeah. Oh, they'd have put me under the jail for that.
Oh, man. All right, we have another ad to run real quick. This will probably be the last ad we run for quite a while. And then it's, we have our server room of horrors trailer. I'm off by just one segment here. I thought had an audio clip.
Just play it, Chuck.
Just
play it.
Coming up right now. But don't do that!
Did you know that you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can, with Website Tonight. Just pick a website template and add your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email account, and much more. It's the complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer from Tech Podcast listeners, you can take an additional $5 off of any order of $30 or more. All you have to do is enter tech code TECH4, that's TECH and the number 4, when you check out.
This Halloween,
I'll fix it where they don't have any user problems anymore.
In the dark, in the cold, in the rain, just where you'd want to be.
Shh, what was that?
You know, it could be the ghost of Mark, the Unix system.
Join us as we present the Server Room of Horrors. What secrets lurk in your server room? This is a Friends in Tech production at www.friendsintech.com.
All That's an interesting question. Why is there a horse in the server room?
Go back and watch Young Frankenstein again. Hey, don't forget, this week we're going to have a special treat. Like I said, the server room of horrors will be in Friday, right?
Friday. Which Friday?
This Friday.
Yes, this yeah. Friday. We'll be releasing yep. that in our regular feed. If you're listening to Technorama via the RSS feed, it'll be there. If you're listening to it just by clicking on links on the website, it'll be there.
Yeah.
It'll be where you are. Now, Friday, I was running around doing some errands. My wife said, we're going on a trip. We need some money from the ATM.
Woohoo!
So, I got to tell you, I didn't even have an ATM card till about a year ago.
What?
No, I kid you not. We are very good.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, it wasn't until direct deposit that forced me to do that, because we would always get our regular paycheck. I am way off script here, but I gotta tell you this story anyway, because probably people are driving off the road going, he didn't have an ATM card. No, it's true. I didn't need an ATM card. I was taught as a child how to budget my money. If somebody gave me $20 and said, make this last all week, I'd do it. Well, that's what we would do. We'd get our paycheck, yeah. and we'd go to the bank, and we'd get our $90 or $100 or whatever, and we'd make that last until the next paycheck.
I did, too. It's called Oodles and Noodles.
Ah, the college menu. Yeah. Well, last year we decided we should probably get one, because we were going to Disney, and we were on the road, and, you know, a little harder to get cash at that point. So we got one, and my wife used, we assigned a PIN number, and the number she used was an old phone number that was really close to another phone number that I needed. And mm-hmm. I went to the ATM, and I mixed it up. I got the numbers wrong, and I exceeded my max retries, basically, on my PIN.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't get my money. So
Chuck needs training on the ATM machine?
It was off by one digit, all right.
All right,
there's a point to this story.
Okay.
Got in the van, and I went over to the branch of our credit union, which is literally right across the street from the ATM, and on the way over, I noticed a new building that I hadn't noticed before, because obviously I don't go to the credit union all that often, at least not this branch. And it said on the outside, grand opening of the Robotics Technology Center for the Fox Valley Technical College. I went, robotics? Technology? You know, ears perk up. Going, ooh, I got to check this out. They had a tent out front with hot dogs and things. I went, I'm not hungry right now, but I want to see some of these robots. Well, first I got my money. Then I ran home and got my iRiver and microphone and threw on my Chuck Chat hat and started walking around this. Walked into the main tent, said, hi, who's in charge here? They just looked at me like I was dense. I mean, I got the stupidest look. Well, the president of the college is over there. So I walked over and said, hi. Said who I was.
I want to join up.
Just like, he said, who do you want to talk to? I don't care. I was not the professional interviewee here.
Yeah, no kidding.
I really didn't care. So I went inside and I started looking around. They had these big one-armed robots, you know, kind of like the little ones you get from Radio Shack that you program, mm-hmm. go up, down, right, left, grab. Yeah. Well, these are big versions. They measure them in kilograms that they can lift. The 3-kilogram ones stand about maybe 2 feet high. If you're in metric system, that would be, what, about 60, 70 centimeters?
Mm-hmm.
And that was just one arm, and then they got the other arm.
What am I kidding? I have no idea. I'm sorry, I'm agreeing with you. I have no idea.
Pull up dashboard, put the metric English converter thing on there and go.
Yeah.
Anyway, on with the story. They had big ones that were like 4 or 5 feet high. And they use this to train people in robotics and controls for, you know, the automotive industry. Classic example. The little robots that come out and do the welding or the spray painting. They can program these things. Well, this one guy started talking to me. He wasn't very interesting. Then I got sideswiped by the president of public relations for the college, and she talked to me for a while, but she really wasn't getting too interesting with me either. I just kind of walked around. She said, well, there's some other stuff in the back. There's one that's loading pallets, a big sucker on rails. I mean, this thing was 9 feet high and just loading boxes from point A to point B. I thought, well, that's cool. I turned the corner and I saw these two younger kids that looked like they were just, you know, learning how to shave, that young.
Just learn how to shine.
And they
tie your shoes.
They had a little robot, and it was throwing cards around. And I went, "Well, this looks interesting." And they were just finishing up a demo, so I started talking to them. And what ensued was the first in three series of our chat with these two gentlemen, two young college students who just. This is their senior project, basically. So let me take you on this little sound seeing tour. I apologize for the background noise. There are obviously robots running around and spray painting and milling and throwing boxes.
Attacking.
But, this is what came out of this. I hope you enjoy this. This was cool.
Chuck.
Hey, Ryan.
Ryan?
Ryan?
Ryan and Ryan.
We keep it easy.
Fix it easy, right. Oh, yeah. How are you?
Good. We got a 15-second window to reset, so we wanted to reset.
Do it.
Okay. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
I run an internet radio show on Science and Technology. It's literally right around the corner.
Oh, perfect.
So I thought I'd drop by and see what we've got.
You got a robot with a suction arm on it, right?
Yep.
And we're playing blackjack?
Playing blackjack. It goes through the entire process. When it's fully completed, it'll do everything from shuffling the cards.
It actually will take the cards out from the shuffler.
Okay.
It'll load them into the card chute. It has those possibilities. And then from there, obviously, that's going to come through and deal everybody his cards. There's a vision system that's incorporated into it. You can see it below the blue window. What that allows it to do is keep track of what card was dealt, who's got what score, things like that. So we can get into more advanced games, not only just simple math games like blackjack, but get into games such as Texas Hold'em and things like that, where suit matters, where color matters, things like that. We can get into those games as well.
So, you work for KUKA, correct?
No, actually, we're both students across the street at KUKA.
Okay, the shirts gave me this is your final project.
This is our final project.
Well, it's better than my final project. I got to build an elevator.
All right. This is our final project. We're incorporating all the information that we learned in our first three semesters into our final four semester project. When we built it, we wanted to not only have our final project in mind, but recruitment in mind as well, marketing for the program and for the school. So it's completely portable, completely self-contained. The only thing it needs is a single wall outlet to plug in. Everything can be powered from that.
Wonderful.
So we can do that. We can take it to high schools, use it as a marketing. And not only for Fox Valley Tech and for the AMS program, which is automated manufacturing, the program that we're both in, but we also wanted to incorporate other programs as well. So we had our wood shop down in Oshkosh. Fox Valley Tech has got an excellent wood facility down there. They're going to go through and actually finish off our cart for us. So this curtain will be replaced. We'll have a nice finished bottom of our cart. Right now it's just plywood, so we wanted to cover it as much as possible.
Gives it that trade show look.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we had our interior design department work with us, some of their students, doing some of the sewing and things like that. We'd like to have them build up a curtain for us. So that we can do more of the trade show appearance when there's situations like that. They also helped us with our tabletop, doing the finishing with the felt and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just wanted to incorporate as many programs as we can. And each time we run into something that needs to get done, we talk to our instructors, talk to the school, and say, hey, is there anybody in the school that might be able to do this, that has experience in this, that might be able to contribute slightly better than we can do on our own?
Good team effort.
Exactly. Yeah, we wanted to do that. That's exactly it. We wanted to think of the college as a whole, not just our program.
Now, how long did it take you to get to this piece of it? You said you incorporated the first piece.
We've been working on it since last January. We pitched the idea to our instructor, John Stenerson, and at the same time, Ben Sagan, the VP of sales for KUKA, happened to be at the school that day, so we pitched it to him the same day. He said, hey, we've got this robot for you. Why don't we send it in and we'll see what we can do with it? So we got the robot in February. We had the structure We basically put it together and started programming, and we've been in the development phase ever since. We've got a couple bugs we're still working out today, but for the most part, it's operational.
Excellent. Now, what was your involvement in the project?
It was a team effort with both myself and Ryan and one other person who's since graduated, Aaron Dean. The three of us basically built the whole thing, everything you see here, from the ground up. Back in January, none of this existed. We had just plans in our heads and blueprints to go off of.
So, okay, you didn't divide and conquer. You did the software and you did the...
We kind of did that. We each had our little extra specialty. Ryan is very good at putting everything together, so he went through, did a lot of the manufacturing end of it. He had some prior experience in manufacturing and metalworking, so we used his three resources. Aaron Dane, the fellow that worked with us that just graduated actually in May, he helped a lot with the vision system. He was real fluent in the vision software.
That's also impressive. That's the blue light down there that actually reads the cards.
Yep, that actually will go through and reads the cards. Dane was able to go through and contribute that end of it. And my whole role in the project is I did a lot of the robot programming, but I also kind of oversaw everything, made sure everything kept going. I made a lot of outside contacts trying to get supplies donated, getting equipment donated.
I have a team coordinator position.
Sure. Every project needs a team lead.
Right.
So I've been there.
We went through with that, and I've also approached a lot of the marketing end of it, selling the idea to different people to help them contribute. We talked with like Oneida Bingo and Casino to see what kind of interest they'd have in it. We actually got in contact with a few blackjack dealers, and they gave us some input so eventually we can increase the odds a little bit, give the robot a little bit of an attitude, give it that little extra edge.
Your field research, it sounds like.
Exactly. Right.
Me controlled.
Me controlled. Me.
My life.
Hi, this is Tim from Winecast, and when I want to get in touch with my inner geek, I go to Chuck Chat Technorama. 101, guys.
What'd you think of that?
Are you Sarah O'Connor?
No, it's Sarah Connor.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah O'Connor is her Irish sister.
Yeah. Oops. No, I thought it was pretty cool, man.
I thought that was neat. Yeah, we got a couple more parts to that. They talk about the software and the hardware, and I get into the development system and the interfacing. And, you know, if you're a geek, there's nothing like robots to really get you going. I thought it was neat.
Well, I wish it did. Did you have an opportunity to take some pictures?
I'm trying to think. No, I didn't have my camera there. It really wasn't that exciting. There were just a bunch of orange arms of different sizes.
I'm calling you out, Chuck.
I'll go back and get some pictures. It probably won't be an open house. I might have to sneak in and go.
Well, I think, truth be told, didn't you sneak into this one?
Yeah, actually I did. I found out that Friday was by invitation only, and Saturday was the open house for the public. And I was there on Friday and said to the first guy when I found that out, I guess vagrants like me aren't welcome.
Welcome to the 1,000-plate dinner opening. Hey, can I get an interview with you?
Who do you want to talk to? I don't care. It just goes to show, hold a microphone and see where you can go. It's really an interesting concept.
Who you got?
Who's in charge here? That was my line.
Yeah, with the check and with your Chuck Chat swag on. Yeah, that's funny.
You look official, see, you get treated official.
I would have loved it with it, you having that Chuck Chat stuff on with your arm around the president of the thing. With the microphone.
You and me, Bob, later.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, I have my robot call your robot.
We've got a couple of stories to finish up here.
Oh, yeah, let's get on with the rest of the show.
The R2-D2 case mod.
That was awesome. This thing looked great.
It's huge.
Yeah, I like it. It looks like a full-size replica of R2-D2, but it's basically a trash can. I think he converted it to look like R2. He did a great job.
In terms of looks, it was pretty good. You know.
Yes. I say trash can, but I'm sure that was just part of it. It looks great. And I think it's even water cooled. The whole works, and he's got it, it's a case that runs, has his computer in it. It looks like R2-D2.
So as long as it doesn't go wandering off while I'm trying to, you know, play games or something.
Now, however, in that article,
yeah,
did you go look at the link? They had a link to the TIE Fighter case mod.
I didn't see that one.
You should go look at that. Basically, you know how big a TIE Fighter is, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know how TIE Fighter is, but it's big enough where across the center section. There's a glass top over the where the cockpit from wing to wing is, and he's got his keyboard, monitor, and mouse sitting up on top.
Gonna say you could probably use the darn thing as a desk.
And it's exactly what it did. It is exactly what he did. So definitely, if you go look at this article in there, the first paragraph, there's a link to the case mod winner last time, and it was the TIE Fighter mod. Awesome.
And while we're on the topic of Star Wars, we're going to put a link to an interesting animated GIF image. This is a 168K animated GIF of Star Wars Episode 4, basically in a nutshell. It reminds me of the old animations we do on the Apple II, where you draw a line from here to here, but it was pretty well animated with the Death Star and the sand speeder and the whole thing. It was...
George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
It is a heck of a lot of work. I don't know if I'd... My guess is this was converted from some old Apple or Commodore program.
Hey, I'll tell you what a lot of work is the ASCII version of Star Wars. Did you ever watch that one?
Yes, I did. And it's not quite done yet, if I remember right.
No, and you're right. And it's been like... First time I saw that, it was like, oh, this is great. And it was like before The Phantom Menace came out.
Yep.
And I think it's...
I think it has, what, about another 3 minutes on the thing?
I know. So, but it's kind of like that, you know, you just kind of flips through the movie. It's cool.
It was great in the days of Telnet, but not too many people use that anymore.
Tell what?
Yeah.
See, yeah. Telnet, that's with Telegraph. Oh, speaking of that.
Oh, nice segue. Final news story. Ham operator corrects the Disney Railroad ride message. Now, you got to be a real geek if you're actually listening to the background music that's going... This is Disneyland, by the way, and I'm going to Disney World. The Telegraph Hut at the Disneyland Railroad Station in New Orleans Square plays a continuous loop of Morse code that I've always understood to be Walt Disney's inaugural message at Disneyland's opening. A keen-eared ham operator who heard the message realized that something was awry and resolved to decode it himself. He taped it, played the recording back at half speed, and determined that the message had become garbled through a remastering process. Working with Disney Imagineers, he helped to have the message restored. It reads, "To all who come to Disneyland, welcome. Here... Age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future." And then they give the dot, dot, dash notation. I won't read that to you.
Actually, this just in, the real translation was, "I am Satan, give me your money.
I'm frozen in cryogenic stasis."
Leave and be fruitful.
Leave your money here.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. We have a ton of stuff in the Geek Library tonight. We would have had a ton in one, but I saved one for Wednesday just so Craig has some fodder.
I saved one as well, so that just makes it half easy to do. Speaking of which, Chuck will not be in this Wednesday, so I got the keys of the studio.
And the password to the website and all that good stuff. Yeah. So if anything's wrong, send mail to him. Not me. I won't get it. And when I do get it, I probably won't have time to read it between arrival time back at the house and show time. So I'm going to be coming into Sunday's show cold.
Are you doing anything
really interesting?
Are you doing anything fun this week?
I'm going to Disney World.
Oh, that's right. You should say that.
Bring in the Eye River and going to see what I can get. I don't know if anything will have a Technorama spin or not, but you know me. I'm always out there looking.
Wait a minute. You're going down to Florida.
Yeah.
There's a big hurricane.
It'll be gone.
Okay.
It'll be gone. Trust me. It'll be gone. It's going to be hit tomorrow morning, which is Monday morning, and it'll be long gone by the time we get there Wednesday afternoon.
Well, cool. All right. Hey, and don't do anything like recording the messages coming off the speakers.
You know, I almost did that on the Denver Airport transfer, the little tramway thing that takes you between the various concourses. Just because I like that sound. Actually, I do want to get a recording of the monorail because it's in Spanish, too.
Okay.
Yo tengo por favor. Mantengo puertas. Blah, 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 blah.
I'll get the right answer on that.
Dias.
See, I think we could have neater clips than the klaxon for that. You know, please stay clear of the door. That would make a lot of sense in a podcast.
Hey, have you listened to ours lately?
Our podcast?
Yeah.
They don't make much sense, do they?
No.
No. Okay. So
it fit right in.
If you want to make more sense, do you know the difference between DVD-R, DVD-R and DVD-plus-R?
The only difference I know is that my DVD player downstairs likes to discern between the two.
Yeah, it's like there's a difference, but I honestly don't know. So we're going to include a link in the Geek Library to help you sort that all out. And if you're just as totally confused about HDTV, there are 35 definitions we'll also include a link to from hdbeat.com.
That will 35 help you. Definitions?
35 different definitions, like what's the difference between 1080i and
740p
and...
Actually, this is pretty nice.
Yeah. When I get interested, I'll come back and look at this thing. But right now, hey. I don't have enough money.
And there's that HDMI connector everybody's talking about. It looks like a USB.
Yeah.
Like the little small, it looks like the little small USB connector.
Yeah.
Now I know what it looks like.
And cool. We have a free download in the library tonight, too.
Huh?
I found free. This, and I installed it. It's pretty slick. It's a dashboard widget for Mac OS X. The Astronomy Picture of the Day dashboard widget. Pretty sweet.
Show us your moon, Chuck.
Easy there, big boy.
Wait a minute.
There's a whole lot of bad ways we can go with this thing, and I'm not touching any of them.
You don't have the wide-angle lens on the webcam?
We're going to keep our G rating and stay away from the certain eighth planet, seventh planet.
Yeah. Okay.
Ixnay on the planete and planet. I'm going to see my pig Latin even stinks.
Yeah.
All right.
And you're wanting to record the Spanish stuff. Great.
The wiki says we're at EOF. That means we have to wrap it up.
EOS.
EOF. End of file.
Well, I was saying EOS for show. That too.
That's a Canon camera, the EOS. Well, somebody laughed. All right, I want to stay away from the morning talk show thing. We don't want to be like them.
Man, you already ticked off the studio audience. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm really trying to hold back. I'm restraining. I am.
Okay.
If you like Technorama, tell a friend or two or three. Tell them now. Do it. Do it. Email them. Phone them. Lean over the wall in the cube next to you. Rear end the car in front of you.
Stand on your desk at work and shout it out from the roots of your mouth.
I love Technorama.
And even when they usher you out the front door, do the same.
Okay. Just skip the rear ending of the car in front of you. That'll get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And don't forget, Friday, official release of Server Room of Horrors. And one more reminder, you will be in capable hands on Wednesday's show number 52. I will not be here.
Yep. Enjoy your vacation, Chuck.
I'll try. I'll be thinking of every last one of you listeners.
Are you going to do like you did on the cruise earlier this year?
I don't know if I'm going to find bandwidth or not, dude.
Or at least podcast every
day. I'm going to try, but I don't know if I'm going to find bandwidth.
Hey, you know, a funny thought. I kept thinking that guy that was recording the thing, but he's walking around with his family, and all of a sudden they look back, and he's trying to record this thing on the speaker. I'd be the guy, they'd be telling me, come on, Craig, hurry up. Shut up, I'm trying to record this. Come on.
I'm on a mission.
That'd be in my recording. Come on. Come on.
I don't remember Walt Disney saying that.
Yeah, right. Mm. Anyway.
Give him the contact info.
All right. Here's our listener line, and I want to hear from more of you people. It was kind of light in the listener line tonight, so it's 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com, and email me, kreg@chuckchat.com. Don't forget to visit the website, chuckchat.com, and also our new site or our podcast, The Friends of Tech, at www.friendsintech.com. The website is now active as of in the middle of our show, so we're the first to report on it.
Big scoop!
Woo! So there we go. And
any parting words of wisdom?
Yes. If a program is useful, it will have to be changed. If a program is useless, it will have to be documented.
I like it. I can live by those words.
Yeah. Well, get out of here, Chuck. Go on your vacation.
I'm not there yet. I still got to do all kinds of packing.
Tell Mickey I said, hey.
I don't write a list of clothes and things I should pack. I keep a list of the geek gadgets I should pack.
And the rechargers and the batteries. Yep. And
thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned for more information. Bye now.
See ya.
Take off. It's not over yet.
No, it is. You
no,
got it.
Look,
no,
it's
no,
still
no.
going,
no,
eh?
No, you can't stop because the needle is going to go
I'll
off.
I'll signal when it's
no,
over.
But it's like right well, going to the
I'll
center.
I'll be the
there,
one to tell you.
Middle there.
Binary high five.
101!